Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We welcome you on this third Sunday of Easter. In our gospel for this morning, the disciples are returning from all that they had seen in Jerusalem. These unnamed ones are headed back. They've seen amazing things over the previous week. And as they're on their way home, they come across a stranger who walks with them, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, our scripture says. And Cleopas, who gets named in this one, as they're walking along, wonders with the stranger, "Are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who has not known the things that have taken place?" Well, we know at the end of the story who the stranger is walking with them on the way home to Emmaus. It is Jesus. And it seems strange to us that as Jesus walks along with them, right alongside with them, they do not know who he is. Their eyes are clouded. So soon they begin to tell the story about Jesus to Jesus. And as they're talking, they say, "Look, this one came and it was just amazing. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and in front of every one of us. Have you not heard what happened? He was condemned to death and turned over and crucified. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. And on the third day, he rose from the dead." We hear this story and maybe should place ourselves in the middle of it. Since we come in at the end, we certainly, it's understandable why we would wonder how they could not know Jesus. We might even imagine ourselves on that same road, perhaps recognizing Jesus. Toward the end of the story, when they finally have their eyes opened, it is when Jesus breaks the bread. Their eyes see again. And they say, "Well, don't you remember now in retrospect how our hearts were burning as we walked along? How could we not have known?" Well, so often our faith becomes a matter of what our eyes see or our hearts perceive. As we were studying this text, we talked, myself and my colleagues, about how important it was for this to be a matter of the heart. That faith is so often a matter of the heart, but I'm not sure that we can really understand either the resurrection or Christ or even our faith simply as a matter of the heart. In fact, I think that's part of what's happened to our faith over time. In some sectors of Christian life, our faith and our practice has become really just a matter of the heart. It's what I feel or I perceive or how I receive the Spirit. It's a matter of emotion. But I don't think we can understand either the resurrection or our faith merely as a matter of the heart or of the head. The resurrection and the ministry of Jesus engage our whole self. I don't see how we can be transformed as people if our faith remains only in our heads or in our hearts. If the only way that we engage God or the Holy Spirit or our ministry is in our hearts, then everything is open and subjective. What really matters then is just what I feel or I perceive or how I'm moved. If faith is just a matter of the heart, then what I feel might be quite different than what you feel or maybe you feel. Then it comes down to who's feeling what's right. Then our trip down from Emmaus becomes a matter of emotional argumentation. At the same time, for some of us, and I think at one point in my life I was certainly this way, our faith becomes a matter of the head. Those disciples who were walking back from Emmaus, or back to Emmaus, wonder how this stranger could not know what's going on. Have you lost your mind? Can you not see? Don't you know the facts that are before you? I spent 4 years in college and 4 years in seminary in my head. I learned about proleptic eschatology theories of atonement. I read Augustine, I read Kierkegaard, I read just about everything I could get my hands on. I was in my head all the time. And what I found is that some very wise people thought one thing and argued it most well. And then other people thought something altogether different and argued it every bit as well. If these disciples had been left in their heads, I wonder if they would have found faith at all. I don't think we can be transformed by the story or by the resurrection or by Jesus unless we are engaged in our whole selves, the way the disciples were on that road to Emmaus. We can't be transformed by the story if we're limited to just what we think or what we feel. It's like trying to explain the mystery and quantify the gift. Heart and head work together in our faith. There is room for rumination and argumentation and thought and theory, but there is room for hope and heart and doubt and fear. Our faith is not a set it and forget it kind of proposition. The resurrection story, the story about Jesus, is not simply chiseled into stone to be repeated and repeated and repeated. The story of Jesus is to be lived. For the disciples come to know Jesus when they stop and they share a meal. I wonder sometimes if Jesus is known to us best when we stop and our hearts and our heads and our hands engage in ministry together. Faith is not a function of a single sense. It's not, as I said earlier, a set it and forget it kind of mentality. Faith is formed in our head and our hearts and our hands, like the disciples who see Jesus anew for the first time when the bread is broken. Our faith is transforming as our head and our heart and our hands come together in song and word and service and love, in deep study, joyous laughter. When all of those things are brought together, we see Jesus anew, breaking open our very lives before God. in service to the world. At the end of the story, those disciples ask Jesus to come and stay with them. And as the bread is broken, they know who he is, and he vanishes from their sight. And they remember the one who was risen, and I think their lives were never the same. Though we are not able to break bread in our usual way these days, we still break bread and see Christ in the ministry to which we have been called, as we engage head and heart and hands in the fellowship of Christ. And so we are transformed in the risen one, who, though we may not see him, sees and knows us and abides with us in each and every moment. So I wish you well on your road to Emmaus these days, as we look for Christ who walks with us. Amen.